Crady, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Early Hits, also known as Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, Patrick Crady for Paul Gallant. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN on the HRMP listener line, on the text line, on Twitter, on X. On X. I feel like saying I'm on X probably is going to get me in trouble with HR. On X, at P. Creighton 1. Sean Mapes on the other side of the glass at the Master Controls, at Sean A. Mapes, also on X. This whole show is on drugs. On the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975, on the ESPN 975 app, ESPN975.com. Tell Google, tell Alexa, play ESPN 97.5. You know you want to.
This is the moment we've all been waiting for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
The great Michael Buffer, live from Minute Maid Park, not really, getting us ready for Astros Junk Grabbers. Three-game series, Brandon Belak on the bum tonight against John Gray. 7-10 start. And we'll see what kind of lineup do we get for the Astros. Martin Maldonado catching Brandon Belak or Yainer Diaz catching Brandon Belak? What are you thinking?
I know last time the Astros and Rangers played at the start of the month that the lineup, especially for Game 1 and Game 2 of that series, were very much this is the best lineup that we can put out. Like, no, it was Dusty Baker in no messing around mode. It was like it was all systems go. But that's when they had all systems, or they didn't have Yordan, but they had Altuve still in there.
Yordan Alvarez due to make his return tonight. In left field or at DH, Sean Mapes?
I would put him in DH because I'm treating Yordan with kid gloves when it comes to the comeback and, you know, just his body, handling his body. But yeah, no, you put him at DH, you have Yiner catch.
You'll hear this from your parents when you have kids, that you treat your firstborn like porcelain and everyone after that like plastic. Yordan is the porcelain child. We make sure nothing happens to him because, like porcelain, Yordan breaks. So we don't want Yordan to break.
When we were at the Space Cowboys game on Friday, when I saw him jog out into left field, I was like, oh, I guess he has to play in the outfield, like just as a, you know, box to check to get to back to the major league team. But I remember just being like, oh man, I didn't think he'd be out there.
Hey, he uncorked a few real strong throws too.
Yeah, he had one that it wasn't like on a competitive like try at the plate, but it was an insane throw.
So I mean, Yordan has a very strong arm, a very accurate arm. He doesn't cover a lot of ground.
No,
but he had a very strong, accurate arm.
But in Minute Maid, not a lot of ground to cover.
Don't have to carry a lot. Until you get past the end of the boxes, that's why your center fielder, you know, in Chaz or Jake, it has to be a deer because they go run all over it. You don't have to cover a whole lot of ground there. Just field it off the wall, turn and fire. The Astros are 42-8 in games this season when they score five or more runs. John Gray, in his last five starts, go back to June 24th against the South Bronx Slumlords. I believe they reside in last place in the AL East. Five innings, one earned. Then June 30th, just in time for my anniversary, the Houston Astros, six innings, five earned as the Astros tagged John Gray. His next outing against the Boston Red Sox, July 5th, six innings, four runs, three earned. Not very good. Against the Cleveland Guardians, six innings, four earned, allowed two homers, but his team scored 12 runs. And his last time out against the Rays, Went 4 1/3 shutout innings, although he did give up 8 hits. So John Gray has been very inconsistent over his last 5 starts, and the Astros have given him a little beating the last time they saw him. 42-8 when they score 5 runs or more, Sean Mapes. By the way, as great a season as the Junk Grabbers are having in their own eyes, it is the Astros who lead the season series 4-3. So everybody who was very upset about the Astros losing to the Junk Grabbers early in the season might want to remember the last time they faced each other in Junk Grabber land, also known as Arlington. It was the Astros who put a little spanky on the hiney. Over his last 10 games, Alex Bregman has 4 homers and is 13 for 42. By the way, 13 for 42, that equates to a 3.10 average. Kyle Tucker, you might have heard his name recently. On the 9-game road trip that saw the Astros go 6-3, 4.29, 4 homers, 5 doubles, and 12 ribeye steaks. Sean Mapes, if that does not earn player of the week, I don't know what does. It's almost like he'd have to be Chance McCormick. But it will be Brandon Belak and John Gray tonight. It'll be J.P. France and Nate Eovaldi tomorrow night. And then the final game of the series Wednesday night from Bervaldez and Andrew Heaney. As the Astros enter this series 3 games back of the Junk Grabbers, a chance with a sweep to come dead even. Now, I'm not going to say that the Astros have to get a sweep here because they don't have to. However, I will say if the Astros do get a sweep here and still no Jose Altuve in the lineup, still no Michael Brantley in the lineup, the Rangers will be licking some very, very serious wounds to come to Houston after just dropping 2 of 3 at home to the Los Angeles Complainers, I mean Dodgers, to then come to Houston and get absolutely mudhole stomped by the Houston Astros, lose all 3 games, lose their division lead entirely to a team that is still ruling and reeling in injuries. Probably have a very negative impact on the Junk Grabbers. And I don't think anyone in the greater city of Houston would be all that sad about it. Now, is this yet another example of orange team bad? Next.
Welcome back to Early Hits with Patrick Creighton, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Real quick here, want to give a big thanks out to our friends at ESPN.com for not having the Rangers rotation updated. Nate Eovaldi getting skipped tomorrow. Velocity way down on the heater. And he is going to be skipped, and that's probably a good idea for the Junk Grabbers considering his extremely long history of injuries and the fact that he's having a career season. So Eovaldi will be skipped tomorrow, and the Junk Grabbers have TBD officially for the next 2 days. Although one has to believe Andrew Heaney will be one of those starters because, as far as we know, he's not hurt. Now, it's time to give away free stuff. Right now, caller number 6. 713-780-3776, caller number 6, 713-780-3776, gets 4 tickets to the granddaddy of all hunting shows, August 4th through 6th at NRG Center. Scope out hunting seminars, all the latest hunting equipment on hand, ATVs, and for the little hunters, games, snakes, live alligators, and more. It's fun for the entire family at the original Texas Hunting Show, the 47th annual Hunters Extravaganza. For details, go to huntersextravaganza.com. You know, I think it was 2 years ago, I covered that event, and they actually have a lot of cool stuff there. They got a lot of animals. So there'll be live snakes, live gators, baby gators, full size. Like, they got all kinds of cool stuff there. They've got all kinds of tricked out ATVs. And of course, more guns than, you know, you're shake a stick at, with scopes and silencers. And if you like guns, I mean, it's literally, it's heaven. There's just guns everywhere. There's also tons of, let's say, very attractive salespeople trying to get you to buy things. So be wary. Be wary, gentlemen. Do not let anyone try to seduce you into buying things that you don't want to buy, that you don't need, that are going to get you in trouble. Don't let them put the whammy on you. All right. Now, is this an example of Orange Team bad? And I say this because the Houston Astros are, in fact, the reigning, defending, undisputed world champions of baseball. And therefore, you would expect everybody who covers Major League Baseball at a national level would know who they are. They are the reigning, defending, undisputed world champions of baseball. So you would expect that, considering they are, in fact, in the playoff hunt, they are, in fact, in the division hunt, they would be active at the trade deadline. And we have always heard everything about them to this point to say that they are going to be active at the trade deadline. However, it appears that we are getting some more of that famous Orange Team bad coverage of the Houston Astros. That would be the coverage where, well, we don't have anything negative to say about the Astros, so let's just not say anything at all. We can't bash the Astros for something that they did or didn't do, that they were the only ones, that everybody else was doing the same thing. It doesn't matter. We need to bash the Astros. They don't have that situation. So, well, we're not allowed to say anything good about the Astros. Talk positively about the Astros. We have to just pipe it down. And Jim Bowden, who is a former general manager in Major League Baseball and now a columnist with The Athletic, put out his latest deadline article on buyers, on sellers, on the latest buzz. And yet, none of his primary topics would involve the reigning, defending, undisputed world champions of baseball. Perhaps, Sean Mapes, perhaps we need to have something like this done specifically for the Houston Astros.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody. You see, it's me. It's me. It's that D-O double G. Rolling once again with that B-A double D. Welcome to the doghouse. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, D-Generation X proudly brings to you its WWF Tag Team Champions of the World, the Road Dog, Jesse James, the badass Billy Gunn, the New Age Outlaws. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
I think you know what those two words are, Sean Mapes. It's not truck it.
Yep, I know those two words. That's why the clip ended where it did.
Is that frowned upon by the FCC?
Yeah.
Really? That shouldn't be frowned upon.
Mm-hmm.
Although, it could be frowned upon in this time slot. We did have that discussion about day parting and not using inappropriate things because we could be on, in businesses, and people who are listening to us at their place of work don't want their other coworkers or maybe potential customers walking in hearing something that could be deemed offensive.
I like how you said we had that discussion before the show, like I got called into your office about it.
Mr. Mapes, I need you to come in here stat.
Turn in your badge and gun.
Maybe we need to make a little video like that for guys like Jim Bowden, just in case they have forgotten just who in the heck the Houston Astros are. Because what do you think the very first thing in Jim Bowden's article would be? The very first team that he would mention. I will give you three guesses and the first two don't count. Tell me the first team that you think is mentioned in a trade deadline article for Major League Baseball by Jim Bowden on The Athletic. Keep in mind that, The Athletic, now owned by the New York Times, dumped their entire sports staff and has released people who covered smaller markets so they could focus only on bigger markets. What team do you think was numero uno on the list?
Got to get the clicks with the New York Yankees.
Close!
Mets?
The Mets! Because the Mets,
sellers,
they are stinky.
Yeah.
And the Mets could be sellers. And considering the mess, the M-E-S-S, New York mess, well, they are really no better today than they were before the All-Star break. They are still way out in the division and way out in the wild card. Which means David Robertson, Brooks Raley, Carlos Carrasco, Tommy Pham, Mark Canna, they could all have new addresses in about 7 days. 7 days. They were the first. The second was the Chicago Cubs trading Marcus Stroman, trading Cody Bellinger. Potentially calling up former Mets prospect Pete Crow Armstrong. Then followed by, would the Orioles make a big deal? And I do not believe the Orioles will make a big deal for a rental, because the Orioles, who have been under terrible management since Albert Bell's hip did a Bo Jackson, the Orioles have been under terrible management. It has taken a very long time for their current management team to rebuild what was a devastated farm system so that they could have a real window. But they are still very much the beginning of the ascent. To dump off a bunch of young talent this early would probably be foolish. Number four, however, the South Bronx Slumlords. And the story was that if fans think that the Yankees need to sell, they are wrong. Jim Bowden thinks the Yankees should be buying and buying big. Aaron Judge is coming back. They need to get more offense and get some players to help Aaron Judge. Then there's the Red Sox. Could the Red Sox be buying? Could Blake Snell be a target? Then, of course, there is the Shohei Ohtani, Juan Soto. These guys are not getting traded. Stop asking. Gratuitous statement. Followed by the Atlanta Braves. Followed by the Philadelphia Phillies. Followed by the San Francisco Giants. Followed by the Los Angeles Dodgers. Followed by the Milwaukee Brewers. Followed by the Cincinnati Reds. Followed by the Minnesota Twinkies. Ultimately followed by the Arlington Junk Grabbers and then the Detroit Tigers, followed by the Mariners, the White Sox, and the Brewers again, Sean Mapes, then the Nationals. The Nationals?
Who are they even selling? Like, I get that they're sellers, and you have to write about the bad team. But they're like, come on.
Would they trade Lane Thomas?
All right.
Who basically, they want to look at Lane Thomas as an all-star caliber outfielder. Another team might look at him as a platoon-type outfielder. He's 27 years old. But did you notice what team I did not say?
Yes. You did not say the Houston Astros.
I did not say the Houston Astros. Does Jim Bowden not know who the damn Astros are? We had Bob Nightingale on last week. Tried to have him on today, but he's flying during this time period, which makes it a little difficult to talk. But and he told us he expects the Astros to be very aggressive. He's told everybody for a week, yeah, the Astros are they're very interested in making deals. And some of them have been big splash type moves, a Marcus Stroman, a Cody Bellinger. On Friday, I mentioned Michael Lorenzen, and then 5 hours later, I think it was Ken Rosenthal also mentioned Michael Lorenzen as an Astros target. So, thanks for listening, Ken Rosenthal. Appreciate you. How are the Houston Astros not listed in a trade deadline article that has 22 headlines? 22! None of the top 22 ideas or rumors at the deadline involve the Houston Astros in any way, shape, or form. This is what you're trying to tell me, Jim Bowden. I mean, I know you sucked as a GM and all, but do you have to suck as a columnist too? None of the top 22 involve the Astros. Feel pretty confident saying it's a clown article. Now no one cares. Coming up next, everyone in the world, except for maybe one person, thinks that this is a Travis Shaw mockery, but the real issue is, should we care? Next.
Now that Paul Gallant's 7-show suspension is finally being enforced, it's time for you to enjoy Early Hits with Patrick Creighton, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
I'm rolling, the earliest of hits, also known as the Paul Gallant Show. We are all pulling for Paul. At least Sean and I are pulling for Paul to keep his job. Dell the Usurper, not so much. What do you think? Do you think Paul's job status will be a topic on the Killer Bees?
I think it's more of a, there'll be some sort of sly comment from one of the two.
Yeah,
and honestly, 50-50 on which one makes the sly comment, but they like to send kind of the little like, you know.
So Jeremy, who doesn't like to work, is going to make comments about Paul being suspended.
Maybe it's Joel.
Well, at least Joel shows up.
Joel shows up. That I think he has the leg to stand
he
on.
He has the cachet.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, Jeremy works like 2 days a week. I'm telling you, these spoiled guys, they don't do any work. They don't show up. Take off whenever the hell they want. Everybody thinks they're Troy Polo around here. It's wrong. Wrong, as Uncle Tony used to say. Wrong. This is wrong. The Tennessee Titans bringing back the full-blown Houston Oilers throwback jerseys. Even with Love Ya Blue stitched into the back collar. The Titans on Twitter, on X, Titans on X, that might explain a few things, Titans on X, changed their Twitter picture to an Oilers logo. Every single person, except one person in this city, and you can all guess who that is. Every single person thinks that this is a total Travis Sham mockery. Everybody nationally thinks this is an absolute joke. Even Dave Portnoy from Barstool thinks this is stupid. And that guy is all about trolling. So here is the question, and I don't have to tell you who the one person in the city is who doesn't think it's a big deal for the Titans to bring back the Oilers uniforms, because you all already know. And I'm not going to besmirch his name because I like that person. He's a friend. I have a ton of respect for him, but I also know that, look, he covered the Oilers and he covered the Titans and he still does radio spots for the Titans as well as for the Texans. So I'm not going to further besmirch his name. But he's the only person anywhere that thinks this is a nothing burger. Where are you, Sean, about the Tennessee Titans going absolute full Oilers? And I mean full Oilers, meaning the jerseys, meaning the helmets, even going with the red gloves and the red shoes. I mean, where are you with the Oilers being revived by the Titans for two home games this season?
So I, due to my age, have had basically no connection to the Houston Oilers, like, whatsoever. They moved in 1996. I was born in 1996. So the Oilers,
what?
And the Oilers and I have never coexisted in the same city.
That can't be true.
So,
because that would mean that I'm old enough to be Darth Vader to your Luke Skywalker.
Essentially, yes.
No, I am not that old.
I honestly would have absolutely no problem with the Titans jacking all the Oilers stuff if the uniforms didn't look so cool. I honestly think that it's just the fact that the uniforms are awesome. That's the only problem I have with it.
So here is where it comes down, right? Are you angry that essentially, you know, as soon as the Texans start, you know, kicking into, hey, can we incorporate some of the Columbia blue into some of our jerseys, that all of a sudden the Titans are like, oh, we're bringing back the Oilers jerseys?
The timing is definitely eyebrow raising, I'd say.
For a city that wanted nothing to do with the Oilers name, right? Remember, they first moved to Tennessee in the 97 season, where they played in Memphis. And they drew the smallest crowds in the NFL. Nobody cared. Then in 98, was it, or maybe I have the years a year off, but their first year they played in Memphis and nobody went to the games. The second year they played in Nashville and nobody went to the games. Then they changed the name to the Titans and people embraced it as their team. They didn't consider it their team as the Oilers. Where are the oil derricks in Nashville other than the one stuffed up Bud Adams posterior? Where are the oil derricks in Nashville? There's no Oilers. It's kind of like Los Angeles having the Lakers. There's no lakes. All the lakes are back in Minneapolis. You know, there's no Jazz in Salt Lake. Why are they the Utah Jazz? You know, they're the New Orleans Jazz. There's no Jazz in Utah. There's no anything in Utah. So should you be angry? Do you feel angry that they are trying to usurp the Houston name because Paul Tagliabue allowed them to keep all the intellectual property, which he did not allow Art Modell to do with the Browns, but he did allow Bud Adams to do with the Oilers? Or you kind of laugh at them. I'm like, you guys want to be Houston so bad, but you're really just crummy old Tennessee.
That's where I land. Where I think this is like kind of silly pettiness going on, like you mentioned with the Texans trying to like slow pedal a different shade of blue into their color scheme, and then boom, Columbia Blue, we're back to being the Oilers, is what the Titans is the Titans' response to that. So yeah, I'm not angry at it whatsoever. I just think it is kind of like eye roll pettiness.
Oh, and don't forget, the Oilers coming back to their rightful home of Nashville, Tennessee. I got a wrong on that. I got a big fat wrong on that. You know, tomorrow I'm going to be in for Jake Asman, who also doesn't work. I'm going to be in for Jake Asman tomorrow with Brad Kellner on the Wheelhouse. I was interested to see what would Warren Moon say about the Titans bringing back the Oilers uniforms. Warren, of course, Hall of Famer, Oilers legend. He has he's been honored by the Titans. I know he's seen the jerseys. So Warren Moon's going to join us tomorrow at 4:30. And we're going to find out from Warren what he thinks about C.J. Stroud, Texans' new potential future franchise cornerback, and what he thinks about the Tennessee Titans trying to be the Houston Oilers.
That is interesting. I haven't really thought that much about like what's like for the guys who played in Houston to, you know, have to have their legacies honored in a place that they never played.
And for in front of fans who have no idea who they are.
Yeah.
And don't care. Who didn't embrace the name. Who didn't want all that. And, you know, it's funny because they always got, like, former Oilers always talked about how they felt like guys without a country. Because the Texans, well, that's not their franchise. They didn't play for that franchise. And they don't have, that franchise does not have the rights to anything Oilers. So the Texans can't honor their playing career because they didn't play for them. They're not part of that franchise. There are some former Oilers who have had, like, ambassador positions with the Texans, but not that franchise. The franchise that had them in Tennessee ignored them for years and only recently has started to kind of embrace the heritage of the Oilers, really after the Texans started bringing in former Oilers players as ambassadors and things like that. So there is very much a lot of pettiness going on with the Titans when it comes to the Oilers' name and the city of Houston and its football legacy because, well, Tennessee doesn't have a football legacy. They don't have any legacy. They're just crummy old Tennessee with icy roads in the winter. That's all they are. Coming up next, and we will continue to honor our very good friend Paul Gallant, who hopefully will overcome this very tragic suspension. With Garbage Time, next.
Let's get back to Early Hits and Patrick Creighton, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, final segment of the show. Well played by Sean Mapes. Getting us a little Sammy Hagar. Mas Tequila on National Tequila Day. And I do recommend everyone go get themselves some Mas Tequila today. Tequila is good for everyone. It's good for the soul. Got to have some tequila. Now, a little late in the show, so we will get to this maybe a little earlier than usual because it is time for the garbage.
I'm only happy when
it's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's Garbage Time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
Person that we all probably think is garbage, Alex Rodriguez. Biggest cheater in MLB history. Of course, was a Yankee and a Mariner. biggest cheater in MLB history, Alex Rodriguez, apparently has some issues with violence and little people, Sean Mapes.
Posture up and write down. You can't get in trouble. It's like you're punching a little person, right? With your right hand. It's going boom, right there. With that knee down, and now you're on top of the baseball.
Punching a little person. What the hell is Alex Rodriguez trying to do? Punching a little person. You know, if I was, you know, maybe 2 inches shorter like Jake Aspen, I'd be a little person. I don't want him punching me.
Of course, A-Rod would take the brave stance of punching the little people.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, that's... He once tried to slap the ball out of a catcher's mitt, and he got a face full of it. So A-Rod's got to pick on people that are not his own size. Alex Rodriguez. Giant turd.
I like that he's on TV a lot, just to, like, so we can still get our daily dose of, like, hate watching Alex Rodriguez.
That was all supposed to be part of his campaign to rebuild his image.
Yeah.
Right up until he was cheating on Jennifer Lopez. How are you cheating on Jennifer Lopez?
Yeah, he just can't help himself.
Hi, I'm dating, like, one of the most beautiful women in the world, who's also rich and famous, and is not using me for my money or my fame, because hers is actually bigger than mine. Is there a Perkins waitress around somewhere?
That was a different guy.
Man, A-Rod. Garbage! Garbage is what was getting talked by Draymond Green and Pat Beverly on PBEV's podcast.
I think there's... Not only do I not think there's guys, many guys that has that next level basketball IQ, there's not many guys that have a basketball IQ in the NBA. Like, you talking less than 60% of the NBA.
And he's been nice.
Like,
yeah. He's being really nice.
Generous.
Like, yeah.
Like, I'm really generous. Like, don't have an IQ.
What's the ATL? My fault, ATL. Like, some coaches don't know what ATOs are. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, no cap.
There is nothing like two guys going, talking about the low IQ of everybody else. Hey, Sean, I'm trying, these guys, spit it out, speak English.
It'd be great if they just name guys. If they're just like, you know, this guy, dumbest player I've ever played with. Like, dumbest teammate I've ever had.
This guy is an idiot.
But that's where the athlete podcasts, like, fall just short for me. If they were, like, completely, like they are, like, Patrick Beverly and Draymond Green were just having a conversation, it would be even better. Because they would be just... be pointing out guys that they played with. They're like, that guy.
Look, I'm not asking you to be a Rhodes Scholar.
Yeah.
To play basketball. It's great if you're really smart. Nobody's got a problem. But nobody's asking you to be a Rhodes Scholar. Nobody's asking you to get up there and, you know, speak, you know, like a trained actor of how well that you can enunciate the English language. Maybe take some classes from Jake Asman or Brad Kellner on how to say words would be important. But How do you get up there and you're just, hey, like 60% of the guys in this league are stupid. And you can't finish a sentence. Mr. Triple Single, Mr. Unemployed. I'm telling you, Sean, for the amount of money that these guys make to be mid at their jobs, where do we go wrong in our career choice? Why didn't we have our parents go inject us with something from like The Boys? Inject us with that stuff so that we could have superhuman powers or be 6'8", be able to dunk on a rim, fly over the rim. Like, why didn't our parents do this?
That's funny you bring that up. Because
where's our Compound X?
That was always something I talked about with, like, my friends. Like, you know, when you sit around and you're like, yeah, if you had superpowers, like, what would you do? And I was like, I just wouldn't be a superhero. I would just be like the best cornerback in the NFL or something. Like, I would just be like an athlete. That's all I would want to do, is just be the greatest of all time at something.
I'm going to be the greatest DH in baseball history. Yeah. So I don't have to do, I'm going to get up there, hit the ball 600 feet and go sit down. Yeah. Let everybody else do the real work. Yeah. I'm just going to hit.
Just play basketball. Like, that's what I would do. If I could fly, you just temper it a little bit, but you still have like a 50-inch vertical.
I'm not going to play any defense. What I'm going to do is I'm going to hang back here above the three-point line, and every time I shoot it, one hand swish. Because I can just guide it with my mind.
It's so much better. You see these superheroes, they're always having to save the world for something. It just seems so stressful and hard.
Wouldn't it be more fun?
I just want to be the sixth man on the Atlanta Hawks.
You're playing defense, and instead of actually playing defense, you use your powers to make the other guy's pants fall down so he trips over himself, and your team gets a steal.
Now you're just the Harlem Globetrotters.
Oh, what, that's a thing? I can't believe somebody beat me to that! I was thinking about, you know, we could name the team the Generals.
Yeah. Got bad news for that one, too.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
My
Curly Neal already came up with that idea.
My day is ruined. But it'll be better at 7 o'clock when I'm back for late hits. But that's going to do it for us for early hits. So appreciate my man Sean Mapes on the other side of the glass. We hope Paul Gallant can talk to management tomorrow and get his show back so that Del the Usurper doesn't steal it from him. Appreciate our callers, texters, tweeters, and twitchers. Killer Bees are up next. See you at 7. H-Town!